Welcome to Liberty Station. I'm Bryce Eddy, and today's show is brought to you by my good friends at Devoted Capital, where they believe how you profit matters. They are dedicated to helping you align your investments with your values, empowering you to a life well lived. So on today's episode, this is a really great thing for me. I get to interview Chris Voss, who is the author of Never Split the Difference. It is the best book on negotiating I've ever read in my life. And one of the things that I'm really interested in this concept, negotiating in general and everything, is all of life is a negotiation. Any human interaction we have, friendships, all of that have elements of negotiation. But as believers running around doing our duty to spread God's word, we need to be able to understand how to listen to people, how to have empathy, how to do what we need to do in order to persuade and influence folks. And I think it's an important book with that in mind. So enjoy this episode. Chris, how are you?
Bryce, good, man. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing well. I'm caffeinated.
I love it. Well, I just did the same. Hey, so I'll tell you a fun story that I think my audience would appreciate. So I have three daughters. They're 19, 18, and 13. But my two oldest daughters, you know, as a dad, I've always believed in the idea of they kind of listen to whatever I'm listening to when I pick them up from things and that sort of deal. And I had your book on audio. And it would have been, they would have been 13 and 12, something like that. And I would pick them up listening to your book and pull into my driveway and they'd say, "Dad, can we keep listening to this?" And wow, they'd want to finish the story or whatever you were talking about at the time. And, my girls have read the book now, you know, as older women. They absolutely loved it, and it's one of those books that I've read, and then every time I read a great book, I'll end up listening to it on audio, too, to just kind of cement some of the principles. So, anyway, it's good for kids, too. I love it.
Yeah, and I what I also love about that story, first of all, it sounds to me like your daughters have intellectual curiosity, which is very cool.
Yes.
You know, women... As a gender, tend to pick the style of negotiation up faster than men do. Now, at the top performer level, there's no difference in gender's ability. Male or female can be top performers. But we've seen on a regular basis that women pick empathic negotiation up faster than men do. And right, also, sure, you know, the class has done really well on Masterclass, the negotiation class I have there. And it's not only is it their top seller, but it skews heavily towards women also, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, well, you have so many amazing principles in the book, and it's interesting because you're before we set this time for us to talk, your name came up in my CrossFit class. The CrossFit coach brought up your book and asked me, "Hey, Bryce, you know that book, right? You know, what was his name?" And I forget exactly what he was talking about because I couldn't hear the whole of the conversation, but it was funny. So, you know, God's providence that we're here today, because that was maybe 10 days ago.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I would love to get into the book a little bit, but, you know, maybe we'll save that a little bit towards the end. I would love for you to talk generally about what you have, you know, premiering here this week, because we're gonna put this out real quickly for you. But let's talk about that, and then I would love to get into some principles and some things of your work and all of that, if you would.
Sure, yeah. A great guy named Nick Nanton, who's the founder and owner of DNA Films. Nick has won 22 Emmys, did a recent documentary on Dickie V, which ESPN has been playing. And Nick approached me a couple of years ago, said, "Let me do a documentary on a Black Swan group. You know, how you guys are teaching hostage negotiation into business negotiation, where it came from, some of the cases." And I'm like, "All right, let's go for the ride." And Nick has finally got it together. We screened it in Vegas about a month ago, and we're going to premiere in Beverly Hills, Monday the 26th at the Beverly Hilton. As a charity event, we're there to support three charities. The Dream Center in L.A., which does phenomenal work. I mean, reclaiming people's lives. If you know the Dream Center, you know they're helping people get off the street and get back on their feet. And not just people, but entire families. They are a phenomenal organization. So I got greedy for, you know, the Dream Center for L.A. Then the next charity is the Steed Family Children's Hospital, University of Iowa. It is one of the 10 best things in college sports. Every home Iowa Hawkeye football game, at the end of the first quarter, they stop the game. Stop it. And every person in the stadium, 70,000 people, the home team, the visiting team, the coaches for the visiting team, the game officials turn to the Steve Family Children's Hospital, kids that are fighting cancer, who are watching the game because the hospital is on top of the stadium. And everybody turns and sends love to these kids. And the entire game is stopped, and they turn and they wave, and the kids wave back. And it is just, it's a kind of emotional boost that people need in the darkest hour. So we're also benefiting the Steed Family Children's Hospital because I got a soft spot for them because I'm from Iowa. Amen. And then, go ahead.
I said amen.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, thank you. And the third group is the Global Citizen Forum, which is actually making the world a better place on a global basis. I got involved with them in the UAE last year, spoke at their conference. I'm going to speak with them again next year. I happen to be in New York right now. They're very involved in the UN General Assembly. They're helping developing nations solve their leadership, political problems, economic problems. So we got greedy, the 26th, Beverly Hills. We're showing love for all three of these groups. And we're going to show the documentary, which is about tactical empathy and how it helps people's lives. And a couple of the cases I worked, which are gritty, if you will. And we also try to, we touch a little bit on police minority community problems in the documentary as well, because we want to back into that to see how we can help settle things out in the U.S.
Well, yeah, we need help here in the U.S. for sure. So would you tell me your story about how you got to the FBI and how you landed into this being your specialty? Negotiating, hostage negotiations, all of that. Can you just give us our quick biographical sketch and how you got to where you are?
So, all right, small town boy from Iowa wants to go into law enforcement. Went to the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, got interested in federal law enforcement. My father encouraged me. FBI happened to be hiring. I didn't know federal alphabet agency soup from one. I didn't know FBI from the CIA, from the DEA to, you know, the USFAA. I didn't know one from the other. FBI happened to be hiring. I was on the verge of going to the SWAT team with the police department when the Bureau hired me, and I actually got on FBI Pittsburgh SWAT team. Got rotated into New York. Wanted to try out for the FBI Super SWAT, the hostage rescue team. You know, the FBI's version of the Navy SEALs, Delta Force, a lot of former SEALs and Delta guys on the HRT. Re-injured my knee. Had reconstructive knee surgery on the right knee for the second time. Decided, you know, stick around a crisis response, but, you know, let's not tear the knee up too many more times. So we had hostage negotiators, and I figured it wasn't that hard. You know, how hard could it be? You know, I talk to people every day. How hard could it be to talk to a terrorist? Mm-hmm. Had to jump over some hurdles to get on the team. Was initially rejected, but I'm, you know, and take initiative, figure it out, ask somebody what to do and do it. Type of human being. Ask the right people. Never take advice from somebody you wouldn't trade places with. But if you would trade places with them, you ought to listen to what they have to say.
That's a great way. I'm sorry, I'm going to pause on that because that is a great way to think about it. Yeah, never take advice from someone you wouldn't trade places with. Do you know whom you're voting for? With every product you buy and every dollar you spend, you are casting your vote. Devoted Capital offers values-based investing portfolios that are designed to help you reach your financial goals, all the while making a positive impact on your life and the world around you. They are dedicated to educating, engaging, and empowering you to be wise with your investments and to equip you to be knowledgeable with your vote. Visit their website at devotedcapital.com to learn more about values-based investing or dial 805-372-0821 to speak to your values investor advocate today. Investment advisory services offered through Alliance Advisory and Securities, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Yeah, you know, and I got to tell you, and we can run down that rabbit hole for a second.
Yeah, let's do it.
The problem is, you know, we have people in our lives that are very well-intentioned and will give us advice, and they are coming from the right place, and they do not know what they are talking about. Just because somebody loves you is not a reason to take their advice. Or just, you know, if they might be right, you know, like a stopped clock is right twice a day. But what's your indication that they know what they're talking about? Well, would you trade places with them? Or have they been where you're going? In a couple of years ago, I'm in a lift on my way to LAX. African-American dude driving, you know, I love Lyft drivers because they're entrepreneurial. So we strike it up. We're having a great conversation. Guy's got this big booming voice. And he says, you know, my mom says I should do voiceover. And I said, has your mom ever done voiceover? Because I know, like, just because you got a great voice, you might be 5% of the way there with that. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, no. And I said, you know, your mother loves you. She loves you. She's come from the right place. She doesn't know what she's talking about. Find someone who's doing voiceover and find out about it from them. And then make up your mind. Now, your mother loves you. And I said, but never take advice from somebody you wouldn't trade places with. She loves you. Now, it might be the right direction for you to go. But her guidance enough, someone who loves you, if they haven't done it, you accept the love that they're showing you, but then realize that you got to find somebody who's been there so they can tell you what it's like.
Yeah, that's not enough to make the decision on. So that's good. So with respect to how you started to go down the path with the negotiating and all that, what was your first and most memorable experience that kind of got you on that path and got you moving down that direction?
Well, they wouldn't let me be on a negotiation team unless I went and volunteered on a suicide hotline. This whole, you know, never take advice from somebody you wouldn't trade places with. The head of the New York team, negotiation team, like she said, look, you got nothing going for you. No training, no background, no education, nothing. I can't put you on the team. So I said, what do I do? She said, go volunteer on a suicide hotline. So I did. Now, that was really the start of it, because the thing that blew me away about it, you know, this thing that we now refer to as emotional intelligence or tactical empathy, if you will. Like on a hotline, they said, you know, there's a 20-minute time limit on the calls. And I remember thinking, like, 20 minutes? You got to be kidding me. Like, I've heard of people staying up all night trying to talk somebody out of committing suicide. Like, 20 minutes is ridiculous. And they said, no, as a matter of fact, if you're doing it right, it won't take that long. I mean, it's emotional intelligence, empathy is a relationship accelerator, as a decision-making accelerator, as an emotional leveling out accelerator. There's nothing like it. So I'm blown away that this is possible. I'm using it properly on a hotline. And just in 20 minutes or less, helping people get into a better place. So I thought, you know, this has just got to be applicable to everything. It can't just be people in crisis. So I started using it in my personal life, my professional life. I got on the negotiation team, and, you know, it gave me abilities that other hostage negotiators that didn't have the belief in it gave me the ability to get stuff done that they couldn't do. And so then I ended up, you know, accelerating my career I end up getting put in charge of international kidnapping for the FBI, the negotiation strategy. Any American kidnapped anywhere in the world, I could coach a negotiation where we would gain the upper hand on Al-Qaeda. You know, pick them, Colombian revolutionaries, Al-Qaeda in the Philippines. Because emotional intelligence gives you advantages over people and accelerating relationships and outcomes, and nothing else does. And that's kind of, you know, what that documentary is about. I mean, and does it work all the time? No, nothing works all the time. It just works more than anything else does.
What surprised me in the stories in the book, and I loved it, is how often with those kidnappers that were ransoming someone, they would start at millions of dollars, and by the time you got them down, they'd be, you know, settling for, you know, weekend pocket change. can you tell one of those stories, or maybe one of the most memorable? I mean, there's many in the book that are just phenomenal.
Yeah, well, I don't know if this was in the book, but the guys in Miami got a charge out of this one because I'm coaching a negotiation in Haiti not long before I left the Bureau. And actually, the people I was coaching happened to be in Long Island. So, you know, I blast up from D.C. to Long Island. I'm coaching this negotiation in Haiti, friend of the victim who just didn't want to abandon him. And we're basically coaching it as the same way, you know, using the ransom money as bait money. It's like a sting operation or like bait money in a bank. You know, you give bad guys a small amount of money, the money becomes evidence. In a bank, you save the teller's life because you don't want the teller getting shot over a few thousand dollars. You're not going to give the bank robber all the money in the vault, but you give him enough money so that it's evidence in his hand and you save the bank teller's life. So, you know, we're negotiating this kidnapping, and the bad guys are going to settle when they feel like they've gotten everything they can. Not when they did get everything, but when they felt like it. So we're getting, and then what makes you feel like you got a good deal? Odd-numbered pricing. Odd-numbered pricing works like whether you're buying or selling cars, you're buying or selling furniture, whatever commodity you're buying and selling, even if the commodity, as horrifying as it sounds, is human beings. So we're boiling these guys down, and we got them to a low amount of money, and I think it was like they wanted $75,000. We got them down to $4,751, odd number. and they settle out at $4,751. And so, you know, we let the family pay. It's, you know, it's a lure. Lure the bad guys out, trace their financial resources. And the head of the FBI in Miami walks down to the squad that was working a case while I was coaching a negotiation. And he walks down, he goes, like, $1? Like, $1? $47.51. How does Voss get somebody out over $1? And they all just kind of shrug and they go, like, hey, you know, it's odd-numbered pricing. It works in everything.
That's funny. The other thing that I use on a fairly regular basis is asking the questions. And the question that you have in there over and over again, or at least part of the principle, is how am I supposed to do that? And that idea, and explain the concept, but the idea is having them solve the problem.
Yeah, it is. You know, and it's how to succeed in any negotiation using what Chris Voss learned from a drug dealer. I learned that from a drug dealer in Pittsburgh because he got proof of life on his girlfriend, for his girlfriend who was grabbed by another drug dealer. And in the middle of the negotiations on his own, the guy just goes like, hey, dog, how do I know she's all right? And it like hit me between the eyes. And I've been searching for this great how question. I just didn't know. And how am I supposed to do that as a version of a how question? Like when the book came out, we talked about the first way of saying no is how am I supposed to do that? Saying it gently. My son Brandon always called it forced empathy. How do you make the other side look at you and see your circumstances and see the difficulty of what they're putting up? Like how am I supposed to do that may be the most famous phrase and never split the difference. You know, it's in the opening story. You know, you got to ask it respectfully and deferentially. And it creates game-changing moments in negotiations because it feels like deference to the other side. And they don't know that you just gained the other upper hand just by asking. Like, they don't even got to answer. But it makes people stop and think, which is the first purpose of asking a great question, getting the other side to stop and think.
We have two major tragedies in this country that I take personally, and it's poor health and veganism. Battle both by ordering from my friends at Good Ranchers. 85% of all grass-fed beef is imported from other countries, but because they process it here, they can slap the Product of USA label on it. Because of this, over 100,000 independent American farms and ranches have closed. Good Ranchers sells 100% American meat. A Good Ranchers subscription locks in your price to protect you against inflation. Enter code LIBERTY at checkout for $30 off plus free shipping or go to goodranchers.com/liberty. Every item is steakhouse quality and you can order the finest steaks, seafood, and chicken at half the price of those other online meat guys. And I'll tell you, in direct head-to-head competition in my discriminating household, Good Ranchers just tastes much better. Enter code LIBERTY at checkout for $30 off plus free shipping or go to goodranchers.com/liberty. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered. When I would introduce your book to people, I would always say, hey, look, this guy's negotiating when death's on the line. So I'm sure he's got something to offer you in what you're trying to accomplish. And of course, you know, they take the bait with that. And I've gotten a lot of people to read the book because I think it's just so brilliant. In the way that you lay many of these things out. One of which I think some people do well intuitively, and that is mirroring people. And a lot of people do that, I think, just, well, some people, and you watch them that have no idea they're doing it, do it naturally. Right. And do you think that that's a personality thing? You know, how do some folks, you know, sort of intuitively know to, you know, adopt the pacing and adopt the style of the other person across the table?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because then mirroring also is not really the hostage negotiator is mirroring, just repeating 1 to 3-ish words that the other person said. Now, there's a separate concept around body language mirroring. And, you know, I'm leery of that in many cases if it becomes a tool of manipulation. Like when people really, really actually get in sync, then their body language is gonna start to line up. The problem with that, the body language mirror, is I know that there are enough hustlers out there, used car salesmen, and I beg the forgiveness of the honest used car salesmen. But, you know, the slimy people, you know, that are trying to take advantage of you, they'll start mirroring you because they're trying to exploit you. Now, the hostage negotiator's mirror, though, on the other hand, it's interesting that you ask that, because I've found among the skills, the 9 negotiation skills that we teach, people who have both high IQ and high EQ love to use the mirrors. And, you know, it's just, the simplicity of it is insane. Just repeat 1 to 3 words. That's it. Like, you couldn't get any simpler than that. But there's something about the elegant simplicity of mirroring that I've seen over and over again. If somebody really loves mirroring, and there's something about them both being, you know, very smart, both high IQ and high EQ. I don't have a much better explanation for it than that. But some people really adopt to it and some people really struggle with it.
So give us an example of what that looks like.
An example of what that looks like?
Yeah, with the 1 to 3 words, you know, to explain that concept for our audience a little bit more.
Thank you for helping me demonstrate.
That was beautiful.
Now,
you've done that once or twice.
At what point did you realize I mirrored you? Was it because you probably started to answer and then realized I just mirrored you?
Yeah, I'm. Well, you know, I read the book, so I'm quick enough.
Yeah, I mean, and so for ladies and gentlemen, for those of you listening back home, what I just did with Bryce was mirror. I just picked out a couple of words. That was the gist or the essence of either that he's trying to get me to talk about or maybe that I want him to expand on. And it's actually, it's the next level up from saying to somebody, what do you mean by that? Because what do you mean by that is usually met with the same words, only louder.
Yeah, and that can probably feel aggressive to some people. What do you mean by that can be something that, you know, you get a little maybe defensiveness or pushback, and that's not what you want.
Tonality is a critical, like, game changer. Like, people so underestimate tonality, how huge it is. But so, yeah, what do you mean by that? Could be like, what do you mean by that? Or, which is accusatory, or for it to land soft could be, what do you mean by that? But that still requires a lot of thinking to answer. Whereas there's something about mirroring that doesn't require an in-depth thought process for you to expand on the thought and add to it. And it's just, you get so much better answers from somebody instead of mirroring them. Instead of saying, what do you mean by that? Just mirror one to three words, whether it's the last one to three words that they've said, or you can move it around surgically and really guide and shape the conversation with your mirrors.
Yeah, that's excellent. So take it now to how you have applied this to business with Black Swan Group. And do you have some great stories or examples of how you've been successful and saved the day, you know, with respect to business situations?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we've really ramped up since the book came out is this technique called accusations audits, which, what are the accusations the other side might have against you? Let's audit the possibilities. Let's compile them. And let's proactively go after them. Now, the best way to get rid of a negative in somebody else's head is to simply call it out. The elephant in the room. You don't get rid of the elephant in the room by denying it's there. If you ignore it, you don't aggravate it. But the best way to get rid of the elephant in the room is to call it out, the negative feelings the other side might have. Now, what's really scary for most people is calling out a negative that's not there, doesn't plant it, it inoculates from it. So we get insanely aggressive with listening and compiling accusations on us. Now, what happens when you start calling out stuff that's not there? The other side actually goes, hold it, you're being too hard on yourself. Which, if you trigger that reaction, they just step to your side. You're being too hard on yourself? They're right. No longer an adversary if they say that to you. So we got a coaching client calls us up. They're trying to settle with an insurance company. Daughter's trying to settle with the company over some second-degree burns her father has sustained in hot water for a variety of reasons. And the insurance company tried to settle with her family, and her mom had been ignoring the settlement, ignoring it for 2 years. And finally, daughter gets uncovered with what's going on, why isn't it settled? And she finds out mom's been ignoring it. So she reaches out for the insurance company 2 weeks before the statute of limitations of their requirement to settle with the family, 2 weeks before it runs out. Not only is it 2 weeks before the deadline runs out where the insurance company doesn't have to give them a dime, not one dime, it's also mid-December.
Oh.
So the 2 weeks is going to run out December 24th. Now, you're lucky if you get people on the phone after December 6th anyway, because regardless of what they're doing for a living, they're going to Christmas parties.
Yeah, they got visions of sugar plums.
Sugar plums, their law firms, a lot of companies are tallying up their year-end profits because they got to disperse profits and bonuses at the end of the year. Like, the nine reasons why you can't get anybody to do something right before Christmas. So we're coaching this young lady, and we go list all the possible reasons that they think that you and your family are bozos, all the negatives they can have about you. You're lazy. You're inattentive. You're entitled. You procrastinate. Like, every single thing you could think of And when you get them on the phone, you start by laying all this stuff out. Now, the daughter wanted 10 grand. They previously offered 1,000. Then they doubled it into 2,000 because the insurance company is trying to get them to go away, but they'd stop making offers. She gets on the phone with the insurance company 2 weeks before Christmas, 2 weeks before the statute of limitation runs out, runs the accusations audit, and gets a $25,000 payment out of the insurance company.
Wow. That is serious success. All right. How'd you do that?
Well, you know, you got to find out. There's a saying, never be mean to somebody who could hurt you by doing nothing, which is pretty much anybody out there that you talk to. Certainly the insurance company case, all they had to do.
Or anybody in the government.
Yeah, anybody in the government. Like anybody that you talk to. Clerk in a hotel, I checked in last night. You know, you got a nicer room. Oh, no, we got nothing there. I happen to be in a nicer room. So never be mean to somebody who could hurt you by doing nothing. That's pretty much everybody you encounter.
Right.
So the flip side of that is, what would they do for you if they felt like it? Which is where empathy comes into play. Which is where negative emotions come into play. Like people, as a layman student of neuroscience, complete layman, neuroscience and you know, I'm bad at quantum physics. I get people correcting me all the time and they'll say, well, what you said is the way it works. The way you explained it is faulty. And I'm like, okay. All I want to know is what works. What am I talking about here? What I'm talking about here is the brain is basically 75% negative. Our survival wiring, the survival mindset to keep the caveman alive, had to be 75% negative. Otherwise, we as a species would not have survived. So you run the accusations audit, you're deactivating the negatives on the other side. You got somebody who works for an insurance company. The person on the other side is not there to cheat you. The insurance company is there to make you whole within the bounds of the agreements, the regulations, and the insurance policy that you have. You paid for it. I mean, even if you got full benefits, they probably still made money off you. This lady working for the insurance company on the other side, I'm assuming it's a lady, although I don't know that was the case. You know, why not settle out with this guy? Family, who he really was hurt. You know, there was harm that was covered legitimately by the insurance policy. And even though there was only 2 weeks to go, they had a contractual obligation to make a payment, let alone, you know, whatever moral obligation they have. You get all the negatives deactivated in somebody's head, give them the opportunity to step up and help you because you're not a whiner, you're not a complainer, you're not attacking. And the chances that they would do it are significant. Now, does it happen every time? It doesn't have to. It happens more often than anything else does.
The last time we went through a recession, there were stocks that literally went to zero. Washington Mutual, Lehman Brothers, Chrysler, multiple blue chip stocks went to little or no value almost overnight. Could that happen again? And if it did, are your savings protected? Why not own something that has never been valued at zero? Gold. Historically, your best hedge against inflation, which is rising like a hockey stick as we speak. The savviest Americans diversify their savings to protect them from downturns in the market, from global instability, and from a falling dollar. Do you? Birch Gold Group helps you hold gold and silver in a tax-sheltered retirement account. In fact, if you have a 401k or IRA that's underperforming, just text Liberty to 989898 and you can convert that into an IRA in precious metals right now. Text Liberty to 989898. Birch Gold will send you a free info kit on diversifying into gold tax-free. Hedge against inflation. Protect your hard-earned money. Get your free info kit by texting Liberty to 989898. Do it today.
Like, and you know, just I'll say, you can be combative in negotiations and your win rate's probably 10%. Like I had a company approach us And they said, look, we got to cut our spend by 10% over the course of the year. And I thought, the tactical empathy, you can get 30% easy. But you by being combative, you get a 10% win rate. Like, you can walk into a hotel and be demanding, and they'll give you 10,000 membership points, or they'll give you a couple of bottles of water or a cookie. And you're going to feel like you won by being demanding and a jerk and aggressive and attacking. You'll get some wins. You know, I roll into a hotel. If they got a suite available, I get it for nothing. But not by being aggressive, not by cornering, but by taking an empathic approach, understanding where they're coming from, understanding the negative response that my ask is going to have, and then deactivating it in advance. Hotel clerk on the other, you know, they look through their rooms. They got five suites. One of them might get booked. They got plenty of reason to put me in one of the other suites. I could make the argument, you know, I'll go on social media. I'll promise you this. I'll promise you that. Yeah, they don't care. They're happy to give it to me if they can, as long as I'm not a jerk, as long as I'm not demanding. I'm a platinum member of your hotel chain. I'm entitled to an upgrade. They'd be like, hey, you know, we don't have any.
Yeah, exactly. I have a friend that if you never want to do business with this company again, you send him in because he'll get what you need, but you'll never have that relationship for the future. And while I, you know, I understand that and respect it to a certain extent, it is so much better to, you know, to attract the bees with honey. It's so much better to have that empathy, to have a relationship, because, you know, things do come back around, and you may not run into that same person in that same circumstance, but you might run into them in another circumstance, and you don't want them to feel that they got the short end of the stick and you abused them in the process and all that stuff. Even if it's to your temporary advantage, it will wreck you long term.
Yeah. I agree 1,000%. And never split the difference. There is a chapter, which I'm sure you're familiar with, on bargaining, the Ackerman bargaining system. It's completely emotionally intelligent, psychologically laid out system that will help you will get the lowest price possible every time. And one of my students in my class at Georgetown, when I was teaching there, goes into Home Depot, hits the Home Depot people over some kitchen cabinets on Ackerman, and just gets this rock bottom price. He's so happy with it. He's bragging about it like crazy. 2 weeks later, for a variety of reasons, he's back in the same Home Depot, trying to solve some problems with the cabinets that he hadn't anticipated when he killed them on a price, and they are giving him no mercy whatsoever on fixing these problems. He has killed them 2 weeks earlier. They got a clear memory in their head how he slaughtered them on a price, and he comes back in with problems that he failed to anticipate, and that dude was on his own, and he's regretted that great price to this day.
Yeah, because they're sorry. There's nothing we can do now.
Exactly.
Yeah. What if you were to give, you know, my group that's listening to us now, I'm going to implore them heavily. I record these intros sometimes afterwards. I'm going to implore them heavily to read this book and to follow you and go and see the documentary and, you know, support your efforts. But if you were to give them one or two just, you know, great tips that we haven't talked about here that somebody could walk away with and just be, you know, a little bit better at what they do.
First of all, let the other side go first. I mean, the top deal makers on earth, 9 out of 10 of them want the other side to go first. Now, yeah, there is a 1 in 10 that's harsh. But look at the percentages. The other side, you want them to go first because they're going to feel good about it. They're going to be more likely to give you what you want. Number two, they're more likely to give you information you didn't have. You get them talking. So they could make the deal and let it come to you if you let them go first. And they are dying to talk. I mean, it doesn't matter who they are. They are dying to talk. And they are never going to listen to you, which you need at some point in time. You need to be listened to. the best way to be listened to is to listen to the other side first, because then this urge, this gnawing, this distraction of feeling unheard has gone away. So let the other side go first. The secret to gaining the upper hand in a negotiation is giving the other side the illusion of control. If you're a control-oriented negotiator, it's really easy to get the upper hand on you. Because all I got to do is make you feel like you're in control and you're going to chill, you're going to relax, you're going to probably do whatever I want you to do. Deference is where the power comes from. Tone of voice, what and how questions are the key to giving the other side the illusion of control and you exploring the deal. And then you're letting them talk, you're asking them what and how questions, you're helping shape a deal that works for you. And because they shape the deal because you ask what and how questions, when you look at them and say, that's beautiful, that'll work perfectly, they're gonna execute because they felt like it was their idea. That's what you gotta get people to execute on agreements with, that the other side feel like it was their idea. Then the last one, which is really tough, it's not a sin to not get the deal, it's a sin to take a long time to not get the deal. There's a whole bunch of people out there that are never gonna give you the deal. You can sniff that out in the early stages to find out if you're being played for the pool, a fool. You know, if you don't know who the fool in the game is, it's probably you. Are they looking to you for a competing bid on the favorite to drive the favorite down? Are they looking to you for free consulting? Well, just tell us how you're going to do this. You know, how can we hire you if we don't know how you're going to do it? They're pumping you for free consulting. You're never going to get the deal. Those types approach you pretty much the same way every single time. There's a popular email out there that the line starts out with, I need your help. That's a bit of a lure. Now, not everybody that needs your help is trying to lure you in, but if that's their opening line,
good chance.
Their help, your version of help could be two different things.
Yeah, that's great. Well, one of the things that I love about this book, and, you know, of course, we're a, you know, conservative Christian podcast here, and so much of what you have in this book applies to, you know, interpersonal relationships, of course.
Yep.
And it applies to, you know, as a Christian, you know, hey, we're here to, you know, spread the message, right? And, you know, develop relationships with people so that we can do that. And so much of this has that element there, and people can learn so much from your book with respect to how you persuade, how you build relationships, how you get to understand that the first bit of advice that you gave there with just being quiet and listening to people and letting them go first and letting them talk about who they are and their situation and, you know, and building empathy in that sense. I mean, that is what we should be doing. So I love it. I think even if you aren't thinking about your life and business, or, you know, if you aren't a hostage negotiator or anything like that, you know, you can, you know, just as a mom dealing with your children, you can get so much out of this book in terms of how you, you know, deal with, you know, interpersonal conflict. I mean, everything. And that's why I endorse it. That's why I've given this book away. That's why it's on kind of my top 10. It's on the little reading list, the high school reading list I put together for my daughters. So I think it's a phenomenal work, and, you know, it's been such a pleasure to revisit it over the years. And so I really appreciate the work that you've done here.
That's very kind of you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I mean, I've always said you need a negotiation approach that both missionaries and mercenaries and missionaries like.
I love it.
Because it works. The missionaries like it because it's actually good for people. So you should engage in stuff that actually leaves the other person better off than they were.
Yeah, and I think that's the attitude that we all should have with all of these things. Again, you know, it's a you know, different story when you're, you know, trying to get you know, a kidnapped person back. But almost every other interaction that we have with other human beings is some form of a negotiation. And if you approach life with the idea of, I want this to be good for us both. You know, it's a good thing. At the same time, I love your concept of never split the difference, which is, you know, you want it to be in your column when it comes to navigating your way through business decisions, but it cannot be bad for the other side, because that'll come back to haunt you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's an old saying out there, splitting the difference is so problematic. You know, there's the person who wants to meet you in the middle is usually a poor judge of distance.
Amen. That's great. So let's go back to, making sure that everybody's got the information on the movie, the documentary premiere. So let's hit that again one more time.
Sure. The premiere is at the Beverly Hilton. It is September 26th, which is Monday coming right at us. Tickets are most easily acquired. My company's Instagram page, Black Swan. I should have that off the top of my head. I can tell you real quick, because that's where there's links in our Instagram.
And we can put it in it in the show notes as well for you. So if you give that to us.
Black Swan Group LTD, BlackSwanGroup LTD is our Instagram. The tickets are $197 of your hard-earned dollars, and that money is going to our charities. And we're going to have, there's going to be a silent auction. We're going to screen the film. You know, we're going to talk about it. There are going to be some cool people there that are going to be worth meeting, let alone being able to benefit these three great charities. And a Dream Center in L.A. is just a phenomenal place. I'm so blown away by these guys.
Yeah, they're doing amazing work. Well, that's wonderful. Again, we'll put it in the show notes. We'll make sure everybody has the information and can get out there and support this. So it's great. Again, the book is Never Split the Difference. And I invite the audience to spend time either the audiobook or reading it or both, because it's worth it. And I think it's principles that will carry you very far in life. So, Chris, I appreciate you spending this time with me. And, appreciate all the work that you're doing.
The pleasure was mine, man. I appreciate how quickly you made this happen.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. All right. Well, we will talk again in the future, and I'm going to see if I can make it to the event, and we'll meet in person.
That'd be fun. I hope to see you there.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you for joining us on Liberty Station. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe to us on Rumble, Liftable TV, or Spotify, or anywhere that you consume podcasts. Please text these episodes to your friends and support our advertisers.